And welcome back, folks. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, joined alongside by our board operator extraordinaire, Mr. J.R. Zufelt. And we are also very pleased and honored to have joining us in the studio two of your finest Alaska legislators, Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Les Garrett. Fellas.
Hey, Aaron.
Good to see you. Thanks for taking time out of your schedules, although I guess now you got a little bit of free time on your hands. But thanks for taking time out nonetheless to join us today.
You're welcome. Are you glad we brought this Juneau rain with us?
What the hell's going on? What's going on around here?
This is capital city weather from the special session.
I have some friends who spent the whole summer in Sitka. They just got back a few days ago. They came over to our house. We asked them how Sitka was, and they're like, well, we've been in Anchorage for 3 days, and it seems like we never left. It's the same thing. Representative Guerra, good to see you, too. How you doing?
Good, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Are you guys glad to be away from Juneau for the first time? And God, it's been damn near a year now, hasn't
it? Heck yes. It was a hostage situation down there.
Now, I know, Senator Ellis, we talked to you about this last week when you were with us on the show, but Representative Guerra, I'd like to get your take on those last couple of days in the not-so-special session and how we arrived at the PPT tax that we arrived at, and your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, there's good and bad. I mean, certainly as part of the fight, probably the tax rate ended up being a bit higher than it would have been. But the the bill is a big disappointment. And I think what happened was, and this is the sort of worst part of what goes on in Juneau, there were a few Republicans who wanted a decent tax, and they had a choice of joining with the Democrats and putting forth the tax that's that we wanted, that that Backbone has been pushing for, a tax on a verifiable sales price, and they chose instead to do what they almost always do, which was join within their caucus and do a Republican thing. So bad tax, bad policy, bad idea. They joined together and they did the wrong thing. There was a quote from John Harris on Channel 2 where he said, "We could have done a bipartisan approach, the Democrats' bill. We had the votes for it, but we chose to do a Republican approach." And so the Republican approach includes, $4 billion of tax giveaways that the oil companies will get essentially as rebates later on, about $1 billion worth of retroactive tax credits. That's rewards for investments they made up to 5 years ago. I've never heard of that in any other bill ever in the history of man, but these guys did it for our oil companies.
You know, one thing that folks seized on right away was the possibility that we will be paying British Petroleum back for fixing the pipelines at Prudhoe Bay that they've known were corroded for 14 years. Is that true?
It's a Republican world, man.
That's insanity.
It's going to change, and we're going to change it, and that's why. I mean, when the word gets out and letters to the editor are needed, this bill, for the first time, reimburses BP for their failure to maintain those pipelines over the last decade. Until this law passed, they would have never been able to write those off. But this special law that these guys got will let them write those costs off, and the state will pay probably 40% of the cost that BP should have spent to properly maintain those pipes over the last decade.
That's simply outrageous. It really is. I don't think it's a stretch to call that an outrage, that we are going to be signing them a check for God knows how much money to help them pay to replace these pipelines that they should have replaced years ago, that they knew were corroded this whole time and didn't do anything about.
And Senator Ted Stevens said today in the paper it was a shock, an absolute shock.
Well, he thinks the Internet's a series of tubes, Senator.
Well, we are talking about tubes. We're talking about feeder lines on the North Slope. And this was Senator Ted Stevens, who was offended when he was asked to swear in oil executives talking about gas price issues in Congress. Remember his blow-up about how dare some other senators suggest that he swear in these oil executives?
Yeah.
Well, he'd been doing a lot of, Ronald Reagan talked about trust but verify in relation to the Soviets and nuclear weapons. And with the oil companies on the North Slope, we did a lot of trusting but no verifying. And I do think Murkowski was on the hot seat in the Republican debate about trusting the oil industry. You know, they are partners in this production of this common property resource, but there's been no verification. The Republicans over the years converted to a self-reporting system. There is no verification if British Petroleum is telling the truth about their inspections on the North Slope. They send in a piece of paper to DEC, and it goes in a file, and that's the end of it, until there's a disaster.
Let's go to the phones now. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Les Garrett, our guests. If you'd like to chime in, if you've got a question or comment for your state legislators, 929 5160 is the telephone number. JR, let's go to line one now. And Barrick, who I understand is listening from and calling from Fairbanks. Barrick, are you there, sir?
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for waiting. And you're listening over the series of tubes up there in Fairbanks, presumably. How does that working?
As long as the tubes don't get all filled up like Ted Stevens proclaims, we'll be all right.
Well, you know that the internet, Barrick, is not a truck. Okay. What's on your mind today, sir?
First, I just have to pass on a little anecdote about our weather. It's just as bad up here as it is down there.
Is it really?
Raining and for about a week now. Any
flooding problems up there in the interior?
Not yet, but you know, the big flood that we had in 67 started out just like this. It just rained for weeks and weeks in August, and all of a sudden we got a big downpour, and all of a sudden the Chena River was flooding Fairbanks. Hey, good topic. You've got some terrific guests. I've kind of followed you guys through the demo memo that I've gotten on one of the email lists, and so this is the first time I've actually had the opportunity to listen in the call. I agree both with your two guests, particularly with this disaster called net profits oil taxation. And I've got a number of questions, so you just shut me up whenever we run out of time.
You just go ahead. We've got a couple minutes before we have to break, but you just go ahead, Barry.
Fantastic. Thank you. Is it conventional wisdom, not just progressive wisdom, that Murkowski will absolutely go down in flames on Tuesday?
I've got no better tea leaves than anybody else. He's arrogant, he's marginally competent, and sometimes that gets you elected, so who knows.
I'll go out on a limb, Barrick. He's done. He's cooked. There's no way he's going to make it past Tuesday.
Fantastic. The Dittman numbers I'm looking at show him, you know, having a third all locked up, which is just wonderful.
And I think he's trailing Walter Mondale at this point. I think that's what I read the other day.
He's trailing Lindauer. Yeah. But, you know, the other issue is that, you know, I think it's absolutely critical that Murkowski be repudiated in the strongest possible terms on Tuesday. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that an incumbent governor would go down in such strong numbers. But I think that's important because you guys are going to go back into special session, and I predict that Murkowski is going to come back and say, okay, here are the amendments I want to the Stranded Gas Development Act, which we absolutely cannot give Murkowski, because once he gets those amendments, he's going to go off and sign that contract with the big three, and we've got to stop that.
It's possible.
That's the plan.
Even if he's a lame duck, if he loses to either Sarah Palin or John Binkley, might he do that? Might he call you back into another special session?
Well, he's going to call us back into a special session. The question is whether the Republicans will join him as they have so many times in the past. So they've declared their independence for the primary season, but after the primary's over, we don't know if they're just going to join him at the hip again, and that's a danger. So the public has to stay loud and adamant that people not sign this completely flawed contract.
You know, there's also, and Barrick, we still got you on the line, but I just want to throw this in there, that also in the news lately and really coming to a head is some behind-the-scenes turmoil in the state Republican Party. Was evidenced, it really came out in the open, at their family-oriented, wholesome picnic they had here in Anchorage a couple of weeks ago, when there was violence involving yard signs and Randy Rudrick and some of their party officials. It's really caused a stir. How has that manifested itself, if at all, in Juneau?
The split in the Republican Party. It's manifested itself this way. There's a danger all the time. The Republicans tend to vote lock and step. You know, a couple dissenters here, a couple dissenters there. But I mean, that's why we're voting on ballot measure one on Monday, campaign finance reform. The Republicans got rid of campaign finance reform 3 years ago. We're going to get it back. They tend to vote together usually. The reason I think that they're not on the gas line. You know, you hope it's policy, but I think it's in part because there are Binkley Republicans and Palin Republicans who are trying to sort of oust the Murkowski Republicans. I think you have this natural disalliance within the Republican Party on the gas contract, which turns out to be, as a matter of policy, a good thing because we want to see a better contract later on. But I don't know what happens after the primary when they unify behind one candidate. I don't know what happens, and it's dangerous, I think.
They have a track record, Aaron, of when it's about money, power, position, the elephants herd up and take the state interest over the cliff. They did that on the gross versus the net profits tax, and we may see it again.
Well, I have a quick question on that. I spoke to Frank Murkowski on Tuesday, put some hard questions to him, and by my best estimate from what BP is estimating, it's going to be a $170 million repair job on just the transit lines. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more infrastructure that they need to replace, and it's going to be a lot more money beyond that. But I put the question to Murkowski. I said, look, you know, it's very likely, based on my conversations with Eric Croft, that if we bear 80% of the cost through the tax credits of that repair just for the transit lines in Prudhoe Bay, it's going to cost the state of Alaska $134 million to do those repairs, because BP is going to do all that as a write-off. And I asked the governor, I said, will you veto this legislation? And he hemmed and he hawed, and he never gave me a solid answer. Do you guys see any possibility that Frank Murkowski will veto net profits taxation? And no. Any indication when he might sign that legislation?
He's not going to veto it. I think the there's a fracture in the Republican Party. I think the Binkley and Palin Republicans aren't going to transmit that bill to him until after the primary, so he doesn't get to sign it. But he's not going to veto it.
Barrick, I thank you for your call. We got to go to break now. Nice to have some listeners up in the interior. I hope the Chena River holds up there.
Me too.
All right, thanks Barrick. Kudo 1080 AM. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Les Guerra, our guests. If you'd like to chime in, if you'd like to jump in the conversation with us, give us a call at 929-5160.
For the second year in a row, Holy Rosary Academy has been named one of the top 50 Catholic schools in the United States. Holy Rosary Primary School test results soar 3.5 grades above the national average on California Achievement Test scores. That's 3.5 grades. So by the time they're ready for college, Holy Rosary students score an average of 200 points higher on their SAT scores. Think about that. Doesn't your child deserve the best education he or she can get? Learn more by calling Holy Rosary Academy, 276-5822.
Hi, Jim Bookie from Wiebe's on O'Malley, where we have some wonderful specialty burgers for that time when you are in the mood to spoil yourself. How about a sautéed fresh mushroom cheeseburger, loaded with fresh sliced tomatoes, lettuce, pickles, onions, and our very special homemade burger sauce? Or a grilled onion cheeseburger with some great onion rings, with one of our great homemade milkshakes to bring you the very best. Our French fries are made from those famous fresh Idaho potatoes each and every day sliced in our store. We also bring you that lean buffalo burger from the plains of South Dakota, a great favorite of many. To give you that great quality of freshness, we do not cook it until you arrive at the restaurant. And not before drying out under a light before you arrive. Come on over to Wiebe's on O'Malley, between the old and the new Seward Highway. We would love to see you.
Herb, if I bring my fish to Alaska Sausage for smoking, will it all be the same, or are there different ways that you can smoke it?
There are lots of options for you. Most people are familiar with the kippered salmon and the cold smoked lox. But we also make smoked salmon strips and other special seasonings like Cajun and lemon pepper. And halibut smokes up just wonderfully, too.
I'd like to send some smoked salmon to my relatives in the lower 48. Is this something you can help me do?
Of course we can. We can prepare your fish and ship it directly to your friends and relatives. And when they come to visit you, you'll prepare their fish and ship it home, too.
I probably won't catch many fish this year. Can I still ship some outside to my family?
Absolutely. We have wonderful gift packs of smoked salmon and halibut, or even a combination of smoked fish in our famous sausage links with reindeer meat. It's easy to send and very much appreciated.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard, 562-3636.
And tell them Herb sent you.
Well, the secret is out now. There are a lot of people in Anchorage who have their own special place for gifts for occasions. You know, birthdays, anniversaries, Groundhog Day, whatever. Now we know that Bell's Nursery and Gifts is where they go to find something perfect. Actually, Bell's has become sort of the place to go. In fact, the gift shop has serious buyers and browsers perusing embroidered pillows, stuffed bears, crystal, glass and china, Department 56 collectibles, great stationery and linens, and they do that all year long. There is so much to see and choose from at Bell's. Plus, Bell's is the only place you'll find those wonderful See's candies. And all this weekend, you'll get a free box of See's for every purchase over $100. By the way, if you're one of those frugal gardeners who's always looking to add value and beauty to your yard, this is the season. All potted trees and shrubs, evergreens and perennials are 40% off. Really, this should be your most active planting time of the year. What you do now will have a huge impact on next year's gardening season. Remember, Jeff Lohenfeld's Garden Party is broadcast 10 to noon each Saturday at Bell's on Specking Road. Bell's Nursery and Gifts, Specking Road and Cranberry Road. This would be a great time to stop in.
And welcome back, folks. You're tuned in to the Aaron Selbig Show on KUDO 1080 AM. It is 10 minutes to 5 o'clock. on a soggy, soggy day in South Central Alaska. Just a reminder, folks, if you're heading home right now, if you're just getting off of work and you live out in the valley, be careful. Out past Wasilla, in the Willow Creek area, there's a danger of the Parks Highway perhaps washing over and getting close. Willow Creek is up to its limits. There's some homes in the area around there that are in danger. Just be careful if you're headed out there. You might want to contact the National Weather Service or visit their website. All right, Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Les Guerra, our guests. Now, Representative Guerra, we've been following your throwing down of the gauntlet, so to speak. I think you did this on Monday. You challenged Randy Rudrick, the head of the Republican Party of Alaska.
Oh, man.
I wasn't sure what that was. Okay.
Go ahead, Randy. Make my day.
Oh, wait, no, that's Dirty
Harry.
Plains,
that High Plains Drifter?
One of those spaghetti westerns. All right, that's enough. So you threw down the gauntlet. You challenged him to pistols at dawn. Actually, it was a debate over ballot measure one. Ballot measure one, of course, restores the limits that were put in place by voter initiative 10 years ago. The Murkowski and his gang undid them a couple of years ago. You wanted to debate Randy Rudrick. Has he responded?
He hasn't responded. He passed me in the hallway today, not looking at me, but that's about as close as we got. So, a phone call, a letter, and he's ducked it. I don't blame him. It's you know, his position on campaign finance reform, which is you should let people donate more and more money to legislators. You mm-hmm. should loosen the restrictions on lobbyists. You know, his position doesn't resonate with the voters, and I don't think he wants to know that that's sort of the Republican Party position.
Well, he did go a little farther than that and called it a free speech issue, that you were limiting a person's free speech by limiting the amount of money that they can contribute to a political campaign. What do you say to that?
Well, it's expensive speech that he's talking about, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the law that he tried to get rid of, and that he ultimately got rid of in 2003, limited donations to $500. You know, you could donate $500 to a candidate. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Rudrick and his friends and the governor, they doubled it to $1,000. And, you know, that's free speech. That's not where I come from. That's expensive speech.
It's a free speech for a select few, you could say. You know, when as the days went on and it's become clear that he's not going to accept your debate challenge, it occurred to me maybe he's still a little gun shy from what I understand, getting resoundingly beaten in a debate with Steve Cleary from ACPRG just last week. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, Steve did real great. Steve mm-hmm. knows the issue, and I don't think Rudrick, frankly, is scared of the debate. He's scared of the issue. I mean, the Republicans are clearly, you know, the party is clearly dirty on this one. When Steve Cleary and ACPRG, David Finkelstein, a Democratic legislator, Mike Frank, got the first campaign finance reform initiative done back in 1996. The legislature then adopted it because they were scared of the initiative vote. They adopted it in 1997. Immediately, the Republican National Committee challenged it in court, and mm-hmm. they lost. And when they lost, then when Governor Murkowski was elected, he got enough Republican legislators to then strike it down with a new bill, and we're going to reverse that on Tuesday.
And here we go again.
The stars were aligned.
The will of the people of Alaska doesn't count unless you tell them what, three or four times? How many times do you have to pass the same initiative before it lasts? That's a rhetorical question. 4:54 in the Anchorage Bowl. Representative Les Guerra and Senator Johnny Ellis are guests. If you've got a comment or question for your legislators, give us a call at 929-5160. I'm Aaron Selbig. We'll be right back.
Well, the secret is out now. There are a lot of people in Anchorage who have their own special place for gifts for occasions. You know, birthdays, anniversaries, Groundhog Day, whatever. Now we know that Bell's Nursery and Gifts is where they go to find something perfect. Actually, Bell's has become sort of the place to go. In fact, the gift shop has serious buyers and browsers perusing embroidered pillows, stuffed bears, crystal, glass and china, Department 56 collectibles, great stationery and linens, and they do that all year long. There is so much to see and choose from at Bell's. Plus, Bell's is the only place you'll find those wonderful See's candies. And all this weekend, you'll get a free box of See's for every purchase over $100. By the way, if you're one of those frugal gardeners who's always looking to add value and beauty to your yard, this is the season. All potted trees and shrubs, evergreens, and perennials are 40% off. Really, this should be your most active planting time of the year. What you do now will have a huge impact on next year's gardening season. Remember, Jeff Lohenfeld's Garden Party is broadcast 10 to noon each Saturday at Bell's on Specking Road. Bell's Nursery and Gifts, Specking Road, and Cranberry Road. This would be a great time to stop in.
Does your old slow computer have you down? Then come on into Computer Renaissance and trade up during our trade-in, trade-up event. At Computer Renaissance, we buy, sell, and even trade new and refurbished computer equipment. We even service systems right here in our store. So let's talk trade and get you into a computer with more RAM, a faster processor, or anything else you might want. The trade-in, trade-up event at Computer Renaissance. We're all about computers.
Computer Renaissance in the Kings Row Shopping Center or in Wasilla on the Parks Highway.
You're listening to the Aaron Subic Show on the Alaska Talk Radio Network.
I want you to think about King Crab Legs right now. New Sagay and City Market have an incredible special on large red king crab legs. Just the legs and claws section, only the good stuff, just $9.99 a pound. That's a wonderful price for large red king crab clusters, just $9.99 a pound, New Sagay and City Market. Also, super selections of fresh fish in the seafood departments at New Sagay and City Market, headlined by fresh yellowfin tuna, just $12.99 a pound. Normally, tuna of this quality is about $19 a pound. At New Sagay and City Market this week, only $12.99 a pound. Beautiful Harris Ranch New York steaks, just $9.99 a pound. That's a winner. Harris Ranch beef, of course, all natural beef, with no hormones or steroids, artificial coloring, or any of the other bogus stuff that you find in most places. Harris Ranch New York steaks, just $9.99 a pound. Feed your carnivores at this great price. In the produce department, the fruit is just fabulous. Peaches and plums and nectarines, and special this week, beautiful Red Globe grapes, just $1.99 a pound. Better bring the gunny sack. New Sagaya Midtown and City Market, 13th and 9th.
Uh-oh. And welcome back, folks. We just got word that Mayor Tim Anderson of the Mat-Su Borough has signed a disaster declaration due to flooding in some areas. Again, we understand that this is up around the Fishhook Road in the Willow area, around Willow Creek. If you're headed that way this afternoon, if you're just getting off work, folks, and you're heading out to that part of the valley, be careful. You might want to call some authorities there. JR, can we get a number or and a website for National Weather Service? We'll give you that in just a second. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Les Guerra in the studio with us today. You're tuned into the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Ellis, we've been following the story of, you know, there's a big election coming up on Tuesday, and there's some folks that are worried about shenanigans taking place at the polls. Story just broke yesterday about a group opposed to ballot measure two that had set up or tried to set up some fake absentee polling places in, I believe it was Healy. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that's Rod Fliger of the cruise ship industry. He's formerly of Anchorage, and he was trying to set up polling stations that the Division of Elections had to call foul on.
What can an average Joe citizen voter off the street walking into the polls on Tuesday, what can we do, if anything, to keep an eye on things, to watch out for suspicious things regarding the quality of the vote counting?
Well, Aaron, we have a lot of good folks who conduct the elections, the rank-and-file folks that have worked in the schools and the different polling places for years, and most of those people do a very good job. Sometimes they're not all that well-trained, and I think people that go in to vote should be very mindful of which ballot they're offered. You know, there's mm-hmm. the full range of choices, and the Republicans, of course, limited our choices and closed down the primary from the way it used to be. So people should be very mindful of the whole procedure at the polling place, and if there are any irregularities, if people are denied a right to vote, or sort of pushed a ballot on them when they really want the open ballot as opposed to the Republican Party ballot, those kinds of irregularities should be reported to shows like this and to the Alaska Democratic Party, to the Division of Elections. People should watch out for any kind of problems, whether malicious or unintentional, at the polling places, because there's a lack of trust right now because of some of the mess-ups of Whitney Brewster and the Division of Elections. I know Lauren Lehman took it to Kay Brown today in the Daily News. I'm on Kay Brown's side for transparency mm-hmm. and trust in our elections. I think Kay Brown's on the right track.
Watch out for that, folks. And yes, on Election Day, give us a call if you want to. Let us know if you see anything suspicious. If you're headed up to the Valley, check out this website, www.nws.noaa.gov. Click on the State of Alaska to get an updated weather report for the Matt Sioux. We'll be back in just a minute.
Broadcasting is sponsored by Ben and Sam Erickson.
Willard L. Bowman was an Alaskan civil rights leader. He fought for equal housing and job opportunities for all Alaskans.
This is KUDO Anchorage.
Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza. The skies over the Bekaa Valley of Lebanon are filled with Israeli drones and fighter jets. Officials in that country say the Israelis didn't launch any airstrikes. However, there was anti-aircraft fire aimed at driving them off. The Israeli military isn't saying whether there are any flights, but officials stress Israel hasn't attacked Lebanon since the ceasefire. The Ramsey family attorney thinks authorities may have something on suspect John Carr. The lawyer notes that the Ramseys have gotten email confessions in the past, but this is the first time someone's been arrested. Carr exchanged many emails with a University of Colorado professor, and some of those turned up in today's Rocky Mountain News. In one, Carr writes that he's under federal investigation for child murder and child molestation in four states. But speaking on a condition of anonymity, a federal official tells the Associated Press there's no four-state federal case in which Carr is suspected, much less wanted. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says racism and government bureaucracy hampered the city's ability to both weather Hurricane Katrina and recover from it. Nagin told the National Association of Black Journalists that the storm exposed what he calls, and we quote now, the soft underbelly of America as it relates to dealing with race and class. In his speech, Nagin also just suggested that state and federal officials would prefer New Orleans remain a smaller city. It now has just over half its pre-storm population. An attack on South Africa's HIV policy. This from Stephen Lewis, the UN Special Envoy for AIDS in Africa. Lewis says the government of President Thabo Mbeki promotes theories worthy of a lunatic fringe. South Africa drew criticism for using a conference exhibit to promote natural recipes for treating HIV. The government's health minister and Mbeki have also been attacked for questioning the effectiveness of antiviral drugs. The South African government last year estimated 5.5 million South Africans have HIV. The UN says nearly 20% of the people aged 15 to 49 in that country are infected. Clement Bilski Jr. faces a $1 million bail note. The self-employed contractor was indicted in New Jersey on hundreds of child sex assault and child pornography counts. Authorities say Bilski spent years molesting children and recording them while he worked in their homes. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
I'm Mitch McClear with the KUDO Commentary. This Tuesday, I'm going to get a chance to do something I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to go into a voting booth and vote between two positive choices. Normally, I just go into the booth, hold my nose, and vote for the lesser of two evils. But in the Democratic primary, I'm going to have a real choice between two men that I respect and admire. Tony Knowles, who served us well as governor, and Eric Croft, a new and shining light of the Democratic Party. This is one primary where I feel I can't lose. And boy, how long has it been since I've been able to say that? Now, this is not an endorsement by the radio station. It's just my personal opinion. I'm voting for Eric Croft. I like his ideas on the oil companies. I like the fact that when he was in the legislature, instead of taking no for an answer, he went ahead and spent summers gathering signatures on petitions to put forward the act that prevents the governor from appointing his daughter to the U.S. Senate, a proposition on the ballot in the primary that will help strengthen financial disclosure laws and tighten campaign financing, and the Gasline Now Act that will tax oil companies for not pumping gas. The fact that he took that initiative, the fact that he's come up with creative new Democratic solutions, that's the reason I'm voting for Eric. But I would also be happy supporting Tony Knowles for governor. As I said, I haven't had a choice like that in a long time. We Democrats are blessed. We're not voting for the lesser of two evils. We don't have to have a bumper sticker that says anybody but Frank. We have a positive choice, and that's a strength for the Democratic Party. I, for one, am going to revel in this election. no matter who wins. For KUDO, I'm Rich McClear.
Whoa, that ball is headed for center field. It's going to be a single, a double, a triple. No, it's a grand slam. That's right. Allen & Peterson Cooking and Appliance Center has done it again. With grand slam savings going on now, you'll save on major name brand appliances, including dishwashers, refrigerators, ranges, washers, dryers, and barbecues. You'll catch 9 innings of Major League savings and score amazing prizes. While you're in Allen & Peterson, enter to win the Grand Slam Prize, a trip for two to the World Series. Plus, everyone is a winner with thousands of instant prizes. Just scratch off to win when you pick up an Allen & Peterson Grand Slam baseball card. Now that really is a Grand Slam. Going on now at Allen & Peterson Cooking and Appliance Center on the corner of Benson and Seward in Anchorage, in the Creekside Plaza in Wasilla, and next to Safeway and Kenai.
And don't miss listening to the Yankee games on weekends, every weekend until we get to the series. It's KUDO 1080 in Anchorage.
Don Olson is the strongest Democrat candidate for lieutenant governor with the broadest Alaskan experience. Bush pilot, medical doctor, businessman, senator. He has lived and worked in most parts of Alaska delivering passengers and cargo, babies, and health care. Respected by fellow legislators, he has been the most successful Democrat in getting legislation passed. For a winning team in November, vote Don Olson for Lieutenant Governor on August 22nd.
Paid for by Alaskans for Don Olson, Box 241, 248, Anchorage.
Alaska has 55 different fisheries from Ketchikan to Kotzebue, and Alaska provides more than half of our nation's seafood supply. Learn more about our fishing industry on Fish Radio with me, Lainey Welch. Fish Radio is made possible by the Marine Conservation Alliance, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, At Sea Processors Association, and Alaska Sea Grant. Catch it weekdays at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. right here on KUDO 1080 Anchorage.
This is KUDO 1080 weather. Strong wind advisory through late this evening along Turnagain Arm and higher elevations. Today, rain, highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s. South winds 15 to 30. Southeast winds 35 to 50 along Turnagain Arm and higher elevations. Tonight, rain, lows in the upper 40s to mid-50s. Southeast winds in town 15 miles an hour, 30 to 45. Along Turnagain Arm and higher elevations, diminishing after midnight.
And welcome back, folks, to Total Request Live. That is the Hives. Seriously, though, as requested by Senator Johnny Ellis, I bet you didn't know.
I'm loving the Hives.
Senator Ellis had a European hard rock streak in him. KUDO 1080 AM. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. Time for hour two of the nonstop fun-filled roller coaster ride that is our show. We are joined in the studio this segment by Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Les Guerra. If you'd like to dive with us into the Olympic-sized pool of ideas, give us a call at 929-5160. Gentlemen, let's talk about that jet, the gift that keeps on giving. Oh, there he goes, flying overhead. Let's hope he hasn't had those Sidewinder missiles installed yet. Governor Murkowski might be in a spot of trouble over the jet. His campaign manager wrote a letter to APOC when the last APOC reporting period came up, requesting a decision and saying that they had reserved some money, even though we understand Governor Murkowski's in the red as far as his campaign goes, but they've reserved some money to pay for if they have to, in fact, end up reimbursing the state for the cost of the jet. I know that Senator Kim Elton down in Juneau in his newsletter has talked about all of the campaign barnstorming that has been done in the jet, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Kodiak, all over the state he's been campaigning. Everywhere he goes, though, he's got a convenient ribbon cutting at the Tasty Freeze or something, some kind of bill signing or something or other. He's got some kind of excuse.
Cover story.
But the word isn't in yet on whether that's going to fly, forgive the pun. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Remember, if you're drinking, don't drive. If you're driving, don't drink. What do you think about Governor Murkowski's use of the jet for campaigning? Pretty blatant?
Pretty mind-boggling. Well, he shouldn't be using the jet period, right? But
yeah.
But he just doesn't get it. So it's his worst fact, and what he does is he keeps bringing it up again. I was pretty amazed about 3 weeks ago when he wrote an editorial about it. It's, here I am again, I've got the jet, is essentially what it says.
Remember the jet? He's literally waving it around. There was also in the one of Senator Elton's newsletter, and God bless him, by the way. I really think that if it wasn't for him doing that, taking the what he's doing basically is taking the Department of Transportation reports on the jet's usage and making them, bringing them to the attention of the public, a very necessary thing. We wouldn't even know about this. Governor Murkowski also, I believe it was a couple months ago, using the jet to take him and his wife to, was it Bellingham, where they could board their private yacht while you guys were stuck in Juneau in the special session on the gas line and PPT tax that he called. Also,
insult to injury.
Pretty blatant. You guys are politicians. This strikes me as one of the most boneheaded political moves I've ever seen, local, state, federal, or otherwise. This whole jet from the get-go has, I mean, if it wasn't for that, maybe the guy would be in the race.
It's the imperial governorship, you know, and it's easy to get out of touch with the Alaskan public when you're flying thousands of feet over their heads. You know, Tony Knowles, when he was governor, always insisted Alaska Airlines not upgrade him to first class because he didn't want anybody to think that he was using state money to fly first class. And he purposefully was assigned a coach seat because he thought that sent the right message about state government and allowed him to stay in touch with regular folks, mm-hmm. you know, fishermen and oil field workers and housewives. Just flying around, homemakers flying around the state.
Of course, he probably got stuck next to some crying babies every once in a while.
Well, you know,
too.
Every once in a while, that was that was a hazard of the job. But I always took great pride to see Tony Knowles in coach class talking to regular folks.
Susan Knowles, when this whole jet thing was going on and the Murkowski administration was saying, God, you need it, God, you need it. It's really tough traveling without a jet. I remember Susan Knowles just biting her lip. You know, she didn't have a real hard time not having a jet. So
929-5160, the telephone number if you'd like to jump in the conversation. Fellas, we got a caller on line one. Let's go there and to Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Aaron. First of all, the governor is just following the fine example of the President of the United States, because if you look, he just made a trip to Pennsylvania where he gave a speech at a Harley-Davidson plant and just happened to be in the same town as Rick Santorum's fundraiser that he attended. Mm-hmm. And he's done that in Ohio recently and several other states. And we're paying for it, not the Republican National Committee. So I just think the governor's carrying on a fine Republican tradition there. Mm-hmm. My question is, on the national level, I hear different things about what the Democrats' priorities would be should they take back the Senate and the House. So I want to ask the representative and the senator there, I don't know, keep your fingers crossed how we do this time around, but what do you think, each of you, the three most important things this coming year, coming session are for the people of the state of Alaska? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Excellent question, Kevin. And I'm going to put this to each of you guys in turn. Top three priorities of the Democratic Party if you should take control of Juneau. Representative Guerra?
Well, one, fix the oil tax. There's about $5 billion that's going to fall through the state coffers like a sieve that we'll never see, and we've got to fix the oil tax. The biggest issue is get a real gas pipeline that brings gas to South Central Alaska, to interior Alaska, that treats us fairly and that actually requires the construction of a pipeline. And both of the Democratic candidates for governor, I think, have a good plan on that. So gas pipeline, number one, fix the oil tax, number two, do something real for education and crime prevention. And that's 3 and 3A. So, we know what works in education. Smaller class sizes. We're one of 11 states that doesn't have a statewide early education program. It's a shame. It's disgusting.
Need a pre-kindergarten program?
Pre-kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Almost every other state in the country has it. We know it works, and it's almost why we're not doing it here under this administration. That's got to change. Have the worst financial aid program in the country, in the state right now, for people who want to go to college and get vocational training and can't afford it. That's got to change if you want jobs in the state. And you got to put more cops on the street if you're going to fight crime. You can't just change sentences from 7 years to 7.5 years and think that's going to send a message to criminals. You got to have cops on the street.
Senator Ellis, top three priorities?
Aaron, if the Democrats are in charge, you'll see a real emphasis. And I agree with everything that Representative Guerra said. Mm-hmm. Those are top issues in my book, too. But I'm going to use my three spots to say health care. we're Democrats. Education and health care are always at the top of our list. And now with getting a fair share of our resources, if we were to do that and fix the oil tax, we'd have the resources to make sure education and health care in the state are top-notch. Businesses, it's a drag on the economy. We're each one serious illness or injury away from bankruptcy or homelessness. Many people are in that situation if they don't have good health insurance coverage now, and too many Alaskans don't. So health care would be a real focus for a Democratic legislature. If people will entrust us with the power to make these decisions, you will see a real focus on those issues that Les mentioned, and on health care, public safety, education, and a fair share for Alaska's resources.
929-5160, the telephone number here. It is quarter past the hour here in the Anchorage Bowl. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Les Guerra, our guests. I'm Aaron Selbig. We're going to take a break here. We'll be right back on the other side.
I want you to think about King Crab Legs right now. New Sagaya and City Market have an incredible special on large red king crab legs. Just the legs and claws section, only the good stuff, just $9.99 a pound. That's a wonderful price for large red king crab clusters, just $9.99 a pound, New Sagaya and City Market. Also, super selections of fresh fish in the seafood departments at New Sagaya and City Market, headlined by fresh yellowfin tuna, just $12.99 a pound. Normally, tuna of this quality is about $19 a pound. At New Sagaya and City Market this week, only $12.99 a pound. Beautiful Harris Ranch New York steaks, just $9.99 a pound. That's a winner. Harris Ranch beef, of course, all natural beef, with no hormones or steroids, artificial coloring, or any of the other bogus stuff that you find in most places. Harris Ranch New York steaks, just $9.99 a pound. Feed your carnivores at this great price. In the produce department, the fruit is just fabulous. Peaches and plums and nectarines, and special this week, beautiful Red Globe grapes, just $1.99 a pound. Better bring the gunny sack. New Sagaya Midtown and City Market, 13th and I.
Hello, neighbor. Dan Apted here from Custom CPU. I'd like to offer you something that nobody else offers. Now, I know that most of you have computers, and I know that many of those computers are obstinate old things that quit or freeze up or reboot at the most inconvenient of times. They have spyware or viruses or pop-ups, or maybe it's just something that you're doing wrong. The reason you live with it is because you think it's going to cost a lot to fix, and you might be right. Now, I might get into trouble, but I'll tell you a little secret. Oftentimes, it doesn't take much time at all for our experts to find and cure the problem. Now, here's what I'm going to do. You bring your computer to Custom CPU, and if we can fix it in the first 5 to 10 minutes, it's free. That's right. We can often get you in and out the door with a repaired computer for free. You need to bring your computer to Custom CPU. We're at 1515 East Tudor Road in Anchorage. That's just across Tudor Road from the old Tony Roma's. Or call us at 277-6969. Or if you happen to be in Soldotna, you can call us there at 262-1200. Come to Custom CPU. Your next computer repair could be free.
For the second year in a row, Holy Rosary Academy has been named one of the top 50 Catholic schools in the United States. Holy Rosary Primary School test results score 3.5 grades above the national average on California Achievement Test scores. That's 3.5 grades. So by the time they're ready for college, Holy Rosary students score an average of 200 points higher on their SAT scores. Think about that. Doesn't your child deserve the best education he or she can get? Learn more by calling Holy Rosary Academy, 276-5822.
This is Herb Eckman, owner of Alaska Sausage. We have been processing game meat for Alaska hunters for over 40 years, and there's a reason people keep coming back year after year. Our traditional old-world recipes turn your carefully prepared meat into products that you will be proud to serve your family and friends. Some of our products include Polish sausage, breakfast sausage, hunter, pepper, and teriyaki sticks, and of course our spicy Cajun hot links. Plus this year we've brought back the popular jalapeno cheddar Polish. We also have great monthly specials such as Italian sausage, Polish hot dogs, and our German-style bratwurst. Our specials are always very popular. And superior products start with superior meat. So Alaska Sausage accepts only good, clean game meat that has been well cared for before it gets to us. What better way to celebrate a successful hunt? Get the finest game processing available. And if you're not convinced yet, come by and see us and try some samples. I am very proud of the sausage we make, and you will be too.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard.
Just tell him Herb sent you.
Please stand up. We'll be right back.
It is 519 in the Anchorage Bowl. You're locked into KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage, and this is the Aaron Selbig Show. We're joined in the studio this segment by Representative Les Guerra and Senator Johnny Ellis. If you've got a question or comment for these guys, give us a call at our studio, 929-5160, the telephone number. Gentlemen, let's talk about British Petroleum. I know, Senator Ellis, you were in last week, and that was just about all we talked about. The timing of all of this coming down right in the middle of the final push, rounding third on the debate on oil and gas taxes, which eventually did pass in the witching hour in the last special session. But since then, a couple of new developments. One, the U.S. Congress has gotten involved, and they're going to be holding hearings to investigate the neglect on the part of BP. Also, more trouble for BP. They are being sued by a group of their own shareholders who are not happy that this is going to cost them money. I want to get to where we can go forward, what the state of Alaska, what you guys are going to do to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again. But for now, let's go back in the past. How did we get to this point? How was it allowed that those pipelines could escape the proper scrutiny for 14 plus years, that they were allowed to become so corroded that to necessitate a Prudhoe Bay shutdown? What's happened?
Well, I mean, the truth is we're still finding out, right? I mean, BP knows the answer, and we're still finding out the answer. So Senator French and I said, you know, we got to do hearings under oath, put these guys under oath and get the answer.
They don't like to be under oath.
Oh, no.
I think the congressional hearings are going to be tough, and I think we'll get the answer, and we'll find out that BP didn't do enough over the last 10 years to monitor those pipes. You know, the sad thing is, as part of this, one of the goodies that the oil companies got in this so-called oil tax that passed a week ago is they get to write off the costs that they have to spend for not maintaining those pipes, the repairs of the pipes, the monitoring that that they should have done. They're going to get to write those costs off of the taxes before they pay us our taxes. So
because of the new oil and gas tax that was passed.
Yeah, about 40% of the cost of what they should have spent last year and 10 years ago, the state's going to have to foot the way the new oil tax bill was paid. And, you know, we warned them, but when the Democrats write a new oil tax, the BP's not going to get that 40% corporate subsidy from us again, but they got it in the bill that passed 2 weeks ago.
You know, right after this happened, we took a look back. Actually, somebody forwarded me in an email, an old voice of the Times, or as somebody likes to call, Ghost of the Times, a Ghost of the Times editorial from a few years ago. There was an effort to build a citizens' watch group to look over maintenance of the pipelines, and this Ghost of the Times article talked about how ridiculous that was and how un-American it was not to trust the oil companies to look after their own pipelines, that it was in their financial best interest to do so, and that was good enough. Hindsight, of course, is 2020. Should we have done something like that? Should there be a citizens' watchdog group? Should there be more state oversight of pipeline maintenance, more federal oversight? What's the answer?
Well, thank God for the whistleblowers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Chuck Hamill doesn't look so crazy now, does he?
Doesn't look crazy anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there have been lots of efforts, Wackenhut and things over the years to make some of those whistleblowers like Chuck Hamill and the people in the industry look crazy. And now they look like people that are real heroes in this whole debate. You know, there were a number of showdowns in the Senate Finance Committee where there were proposals from the Knowles administration and even before that to not just trust British Petroleum and their reports they send to Juneau and go into a file, but to actually verify that the correct kind of maintenance program and monitoring was going on. And we'll get you some documentation for this in the future of okay. just those party line votes between Republicans and Democrats on the Senate Finance Committee. Saying British Petroleum is a wonderful company, we can trust them. Any money spent by the state to verify this information would be wasted. It'd be redundant efforts, and we could just the trusting but no verifying, as I mentioned mm-hmm. before. And that was the question that I asked the governor during the joint session speech right after the BP shutdown, was that there had been too much trusting and not enough verifying going on. I saw Governor Murkowski on a Republican debate on public television the other night saying the state didn't drop the ball in this regard. Well, he's wrong. The state has dropped the ball, and Republicans in the legislature denied the resources to really make sure that BP was doing what they should be doing. And now we all suffer for it. The nation's economy, mm-hmm. the consumers across the United States and the state treasury to the tune of millions and millions of dollars. It's really, and again, Ted Stevens said he was shocked. Mm-hmm. You know, when Republican oil executives and others come to Republican cocktail parties to elect those guys to office, men and women to office, they apparently don't talk about the problems with the corrosion on the North Slope. They must talk about other things, because the oil industry influence on the tax bill and then on not verifying maintenance on the North Slope has gotten out of control. And it's up to the public to rectify the situation.
929-5160, the telephone number. If you've got a question or comment for Senator Johnny Ellis or Representative Les Guerra, give us a call. I'm Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return.
Well, the secret is out now. There are a lot of people in Anchorage who have their own special place for gifts for occasions. You know, birthdays, anniversaries, Groundhog Day, whatever. Now we know that Bell's Nursery and Gifts is where they go to find something perfect. Actually, Bell's has become sort of the place to go. In fact, the gift shop has serious buyers and browsers perusing embroidered pillows, stuffed bears, crystal, glass and china, Department 56 collectibles, great stationery and linens, and they do that all year long. There is so much to see and choose from at Bell's. Plus, Bell's is the only place you'll find those wonderful See's candies. And all this weekend, you'll get a free box of See's for every purchase over $100. By the way, if you're one of those frugal gardeners who's always looking to add value and beauty to your yard, this is the season. All potted trees and shrubs, evergreens, and perennials are 40% off. Really, this should be your most active planting time of the year. What you do now will have a huge impact on next year's gardening season. Remember, Jeff Lohenfeld's Garden Party is broadcast 10 to noon each Saturday at Bell's on Specking Road. Bell's Nursery and Gifts, Specking Road and Cranberry Road. This would be a great time to stop in.
And welcome back, folks. 525 in the Anchorage Bowl. Senator Ellis has an important piece of business up in the valley. We tried to warn him that the roads might be washed out, but he, being the brave, intrepid senator that he is heading fearlessly into danger. No, he really did. He really has a meeting up in the Mat-Su. Representative Les Guerra is with us, though. Representative Guerra, thanks for sticking around with us. And once again, we thank you for coming in. We're glad that you could take time out to join us. We've got phone calls on the line, 929-5160, the number. Let's go to line one, where we're joined by Caroline. Hi, Caroline.
Good afternoon.
What's on your mind today?
Well, first things, thank you for referring to it as, and Representative Guerra did the same, as a Democratic Party, not the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how words can be distorted, and apparently Hartman's been talking about this one. I applaud the three top things each of you said. Senator Ellis and you, Representative Guerra, said that you wanted the party to do in terms of education and health and so forth. I would submit, first of all, fix the oil tax. Worked in the industry for 13 years. It's abominable what, mm-hmm. what they have done. There's no question about it. And why would you entrust the production of the gas to somebody that can't do a job that they do all over the world and did it so poorly up here? But the revenue sharing and the impact that's had on the bush has been one of the things I have harped on since they got rid of revenue sharing. That's number one for me.
I was going to say, Caroline, you mean the lack of revenue sharing.
Well, yeah, the mm-hmm. fact that they eliminated it.
Right.
Because as a lot of people have pointed out, and I'm one of many, we had it when it was $9 a barrel. So there's mm-hmm. no excuse. Just a couple of small things, though.
Well, let's get an answer, Caroline, because we've actually only got about a minute left.
Well, can I throw two others out?
Real fast.
Quadrupling of the business tax. Doesn't hurt a Walmart, kills small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Quadrupling of that tax. And, at the same time, the elimination of the fee for a concealed permit. So giving money away at one point and gouging the small mm-hmm. business person on the other.
Interesting. Representative Guerra, do you want to hit on revenue sharing?
Three words, Caroline, and to everybody else who's listening, I mean, the ideas are great out there. Letters to the editor. That's four words, I think. Letters at ADN.com. You can't write a letter more than 225 words, and get those points out, because this world's not going to change unless people try and change it, and the letters page is a free place to get your ideas across and tell people how to change the world.
It's not all that easy sometimes with them, but anyway, I applaud.
Keep giving it your best shot. Berta Gardner, Johnny Ellis, and I, and the Democrats have been pushing for revenue sharing. When the governor ended it, we we voted to override his veto, but, you know, again, the Republicans voted with him as a party to end it. And if we had revenue sharing, not only would small communities have enough money for basic law enforcement and services, but Anchorage would have money for property tax relief. And Berta Gardner had a specific bill to deal with property tax relief that way. We should do it. You know, most of the other issues I agree with you on. And, you know, the business tax, the increase we fought because, you know, somebody who runs a little pottery shop pays the same $200 that a doctor's office pays in this state. And that's not right. So get the word out. Do it on the letters page. Do it on the radio. Thanks.
Representative Guerra, we have to break here for a couple minutes at the bottom of the hour. Can you hang out with us for a few minutes on the other side?
I'd be happy to.
Excellent. Representative, let's get... Boo! There are technical difficulties. Randy Rudrick screwing with the tubes. Representative Les Guerra is going to stick around with us on the other side. 929-5160. Write it down, folks. That's our telephone number. I'm Aaron Selbig. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Hi, I'm Aaron Selvig, and this is KUDO 1080 in Anchorage. Tune us in, keep us on, because without you, there is no KUDO.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Frozen seafood is making big gains in the U.S. That's good news for Alaska. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by the Etsy Processors Association. The APA donates 1 million fish meals each year to hungry Americans through its Community Catch program. Learn more about the world's largest food fishery at ATSEA.org.
You can have a voice in your community's fishing future. Preserving fishing communities and changing times is the focus of a two-day Sea Grant conference next month in Anchorage. Find out more and register for Alaska's Fishing Communities Harvesting the Future at alaskaseagrant.org. Nearly half of America's 110 million households now eat frozen seafood. IntraFish reports that market researcher Packaged Facts predicts that frozen seafood will continue to grow due to more varieties of better-for-you frozen entrees that cater to time-crunched families.
It's exciting to see that. You know, there was a stigma, I think, a few years ago. Everybody thought it had to be fresh. I think we've done a pretty good job of changing that perception.
Ray Ryuta is director of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. ASME has seen steady growth in its national Cook It Frozen campaign. Ryuta also credits chefs for building consumer confidence in frozen fish. Nearly 60% of Americans eat seafood at restaurants.
Top-notch chefs that are using frozen Alaska seafood in their restaurants are helping setting a standard that everybody's emulating. And that's what's starting to translate into the acceptance, I think, of frozen seafood.
The acceptance of frozen seafood has big implications for Alaska. It equates to pennies or nickels per pound in transportation costs instead of dimes and quarters for fresh. It also reduces risk, says market expert Chris McDowell.
Filleting salmon and sending it out fresh out of Alaska represents an enormous risk in terms of shelf life. Shelf life is a real important component of value for big buyers.
The U.S. market for frozen foods last year totaled nearly $28 billion. It's expected to grow by nearly 3% a year to $32 billion by 2010. Fish Radio is also brought to you by the Marine Conservation Alliance, promoting sustainable fisheries to feed the world. Catch past programs at marineconservationalliance.org. I'm Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Walking Store.
Walk a little, save a lot at the Alaska Walking Store's upstairs, downstairs summer clearance in the Anchorage Fifth Avenue Mall. Upstairs, the Alaska Walking Store is overstocked with a tremendous selection of the best summer shoes the world has to offer, priced for midsummer clearance. Shoes by Clarks, Mephisto, Joseph Seibel, Riker, Bjorn, Indigo, Keen, and Piccolinos. And downstairs, at the boot sale, take an additional $10 off the sale price on designer boots and shoes by Uggs, Technica, Ulu, Maxine, and La Canadienne. Save on Sorel, Columbia, and Blondo, plus super markdown specials. Shop where experienced Alaskans have been saving for years. The summer clearance is on, downstairs on the lower A level and upstairs at the Alaska Walking Store in Anchorage Fifth Avenue Mall, level 3.
Comfort, fit, and style assured. The Alaska Walking Store.
Paid for by Constantine for State House, 1332 West 12th Avenue, Anchorage, 99501.
Danny Constantine knows hard work. From digging ditches in Prudhoe Bay to fighting for Alaska's interests in the U.S. Congress, he has the experience to get our state back on track.
I've lived the Alaska dream, and I want the same thing for our kids. That's why I'm running to represent West Anchorage in the State House.
As a father, an Alaskan with 25 years of public service, Danny Constantine can hit the ground running. He went from working in the oil fields to solving oil development disputes in the state legislature and in Congress. As a Senate staffer in Juneau and an assistant to the U.S. Secretary of the Interior in two presidential administrations, Danny Constantine is no stranger to politics and policy. He'll get things done.
With record high oil revenues, Alaska should be leading the nation in education and economic opportunity. I know we can do better.
Keep Danny Constantine working for Alaska's future.
Free speech? What a concept. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know the new two-box techniques? It will be the question, which is the conclusion they want you to draw, but it's also something wildly untrue. And the other technique, of course, is that some people say, where they don't identify who, but it's their excuse for being able to say, once again, wildly untrue or defamatory things.
Some say Hillary's leftist, lesbian, communist, witches, coven, Satanist background may hurt her presidential chances. Some people say.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hear me Monday through Friday mornings from 5 to 8.
And welcome back, folks. 5:35 in the Anchorage Bowl. It is time for the final half hour of the Aaron Selbig Show. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM. Your progressive voice in Anchorage. We're joined in the studio by Representative Les Garris. Senator Johnny Ellis had some business to attend to. He's headed out to the Valley. We thank him again for joining us. By the way, speaking of the Valley, we've had a couple of calls wondering about the road conditions. There is some heavy rain. Some of the creeks in the Valley, including Willow Creek, the Little Sioux, are overflowing, and there is some homes in the Willow area that are in danger. There has been, as of yet, no closure of the Parks Highway. Not yet, but at about mile 71 or so, right in the neighborhood of Willow Creek, there might be. About the best source that we've got out here on the internets that JR has been able to find is the NOAA site. If you go to www.nws.noaa.gov and you click on Alaska there, you'll see that there are flood warnings all over the Mat-Su Valley, all through South Central Alaska, actually. Click on the state of Alaska and it'll give you an updated report. It appears to be a pretty good source, and so far, like we say, no closures of the Parks Highway yet. But if you're headed up that way to the western part of the valley there, be careful. The roads are in bad shape. Even if you're just headed out to Muldoon, be careful. The roads here in the town are slick. At low points in the road, there may be some standing water. Be careful out there. It's not worth having an accident to try to get home a couple of minutes sooner. All right, 929-5160. If you got a question for Representative Les Garris, JR, let's go to the phones to line one. And is this Kristen, our Kenai connection?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Kristen, is it soggy down there in Anchor Point?
Oh, it's blowing. Trees are falling.
Oh.
Rivers are rising.
Yeah, it's like Revelations down there. Great.
No, just an average rainy.
Lovely afternoon in Anchor Point. What's on your mind today, Kristen?
Well, Carolyn mentioned one of the things. Why should we trust building a gas pipeline with people who can't seem to maintain a oil pipeline?
Mm-hmm.
So right there, you can see that there's a problem. But the other thing I wanted to say is, I was under the impression when problems developed when they first finished the Alaska pipeline, a couple of years afterwards, there were like cracks began to appear in some of the pipe. Mm-hmm. And at that time, BP made promises, which I thought that they had put into writing, that, you know, as they were replacing those cracked pipes, that they were going to keep an eye on the pipeline. They couldn't, you know, because part of the problem was, I guess, some of the pipe was inferior, but they couldn't tell where all the inferior pipe had been put in to the pipeline. So at that time, they were supposed to have, and I thought it was in writing somewhere, stated that they would maintain the pipeline on a regular basis. They would regularly send pigs down looking for cracks and corrosion because of these badly made pipes that had been put into the pipeline.
Representative Guerra, do you remember that? And what were the promises made regarding the sending the pigs down, maintenance of the pipes?
Yeah, I can't tell you the specific promises, but in their lease terms, in their lease terms, they have a duty to engage in what's called reasonable conduct, and and they haven't. Probably, it looks that way. The evidence is mounting that they haven't. So they do have a duty to maintain. They do have a duty to monitor. And then this whole idea that you can trust the oil companies and the state doesn't have to have any oversight is, you know, that's sort of like a 19th century sort of two free market politics. The government
has oversight in the fishing industry and the timber industry.
Yeah, no, you definitely need oversight of oil companies. And and to Tony Noel's credit, he tried to do it real hard back in his year as his governor, and but you had a Republican legislature that wanted to score points, and so they cut the funding that he had proposed to do monitoring, and
for
people to stand up today and say, you know, God, we're so surprised, it's pretty amazing. You know, this is a governor and this is a legislature that hasn't funded the monitoring that had been proposed, and you know, there needs to be a sea change here.
Well, they went out of their way to cozy up to mining industries and oil industries. I mean, they destroyed the Habitat Department of Fish and Game. They've pretty much gutted Fish and Game. I don't know what they do with all the money they collect for the fishing and hunting licenses.
There's a letter to the editor. What they did with the Habitat Division to get rid of the fisheries protection function at Fish and Game, I think, was outrageous. But, you know, and that's a great issue that resonates with voters. You know, this is a group of people who stood up against fishermen. That's what they did. You know, the Habitat Division was there to make sure development was done in the way that didn't damage our fishing streams. And I'm a rabid fisherman. I mean, I fought the habitat issue real, real hard. People need to be reminded what these guys are doing.
Yeah, mixing zones. Don't forget that, people. Mixing zones. Still on the table, by the way, as I can remember.
Thanks a lot, Kristen. Appreciate your call. Always a pleasure to get an update from Soggy Anchor Point.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kristen. Bye-bye.
I guess I'm not fishing north or south this weekend.
Yeah, where the hell are you going to go?
It's a painting weekend.
Maybe you could give Governor Murkowski a call and he'd give you a ride on his jet somewhere. What do you think? No, sorry about that. 929-5160. We got a couple minutes left in this segment before Representative Guerra has to get out of here as well. If you want to get a question in for him, you still have time. So moving forward, what does there need to be? What kind of oversight would you like to see, and what kind of form? Whether it's a stricter federal oversight, state oversight, maybe some kind of a coalition or a citizens group that's overlooking this. What needs to happen to make sure that pipeline maintenance happens the way it's supposed to, that we don't end up with a disastrous Prudhoe Bay shutdown like we're looking at right now?
Well, I mean, in truth, this issue is all new for all of us, right? I mean, the fight was in around 2000, 2001. Legislature cut the funding that was requested to do monitoring. I think we've got to sit down and say, how much monitoring do we need? We know we don't have enough now. I think we have 5 pipeline inspectors for the whole state right now in this state. A fraction of what a place like Indiana that has a fraction of the oil has. You know, they have more inspectors and less oil. I think we're going to have to sit down. I think we're going to have to change things. And, you know, it's obvious for whatever reason, you can never trust a large company to always do the right thing. There are motivations that you don't even know about. So you have to monitor, and frankly, you should charge the oil companies for the cost that they impose on us by us having to regulate them.
I'm going to throw a couple of conspiracy theories at you before you get out of here, Representative Guerra. I've saved the worst questions for last. Conspiracy theory number one, British Petroleum has been sitting, they have known exactly how corroded their pipelines are for a long time. Conspiracy theory number one, they've been sitting on this, waiting for a gas or a PPT tax, some kind of tax to pass that will give them money back for fixing the pipeline so that they'll save money. What do you think?
I'm not sure if they intended that, but they got it. Until this new law passed a week ago, they had no right to get the state to pay for their monitoring and their fixing of the problems that led to the shutdown. The tax that passed will have the state pay at least 40% of the cost of what they should have spent in the past. The state is, you know, that was one of the goodies in this last bill, a 40% subsidy for the cost of them doing the maintenance they should have done the last 10 years.
That still pisses me off every time I hear it. Conspiracy theory number two, and this came from Greg Palast in The Guardian UK just a couple of days after the shutdown was announced. BP has crunched the numbers and figured that from shutting down Prudhoe Bay, based on the jump in the price of oil and their holdings, their oil operations elsewhere in the world, they might actually make money off of shutting down Prudhoe Bay.
I've heard that. My 8 Max actually did a little bit of math, and some quick math shows that there's a part of this where they drive up the price of oil by shutting down Prudhoe Bay, where they don't lose all that much money. I'd be surprised if they're making money on this, but not that surprised, because the price of oil has jumped to at least partially offset whatever loss they're facing for shutting it down.
A conspiracy theory number three, and I have to claim ownership of this one. My gut reaction when I first saw the news on the Prudhoe Bay shutdown was that this might be, in part, an effort to strong-arm you, the Alaska State Legislature, into passing a PPT tax and a gas line contract that they like.
Well,
the truth?
The result is probably there. I mean, they got the bill that they wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get about $5 billion worth of deductions and credits and corporate welfare that they wouldn't have gotten under the old law, and they beat back the attempts by many of us to impose a real good strong oil tax. So they only beat that back this year, though. We're gonna come back at them again next year, and they're probably asking for an initiative. They made the oil tax weak enough that I don't think the public's gonna stand for this. Certainly, the Democrats aren't.
Representative Guerra, we've got to get out of here. I want to thank you once again for coming to the studio, and thank you for fighting for us in Juneau. Do you want to say a word about ballot measure one before we get out of here? We're voting this on Tuesday.
Well, I'm definitely a yes on one. Bring back campaign finance reform. Tell Randy Rederich and the Republican Party they were wrong to fight against it, and you know, limiting the amount of money you can donate to politicians is always a good thing.
If you want more information on that issue and all of the others we've discussed on today's show with Representative Guerra and Senator Ellis, it's out there on the series of tubes, folks, at www.akdemocrats.org. Les Guerra, thanks a lot. You have a good weekend.
Thank you, you too.
I'm Aaron Selbig. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, have you gotten hassled at the airport? Have you ever been one of the unlucky people that get plucked out of line for special attention? Well, we're going to give you an inside look at how effective the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, is in preventing terrorism in the airports. All right, 5:46 in the Anchorage Bowl. I'm Aaron Selbig. We'll be right back.